Another quick turnaround ahead of game week 32. I'll be covering the usual feature picks, hidden gems, most hidden gem pick, fixture chat, injury chat, and stick around till the end to listen to me chat through some of my predicted lineups for the coming weekend. This is episode 168 of the Draft FC podcast. Welcome back to the Draft FC podcast, the podcast, website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official Draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host for another game week preview, going over waiver options, hidden gems and general Premier League chat ahead of game week 32. It's been a good game week for me so far. I don't own Foden, but I've had returns from Doku, Brennan Johnson, Gibbs White, Barnes and a clean sheet for Gabriel so far. Plus, I've still got Mo Salah and Nico Jackson to go tonight when they play in their respective games. Of course, tonight we still have Liverpool against Sheffield United and Chelsea against Man U to go before we can say game week 31 is a wrap. And then we have our second very tight turnaround of the week with the game week 32 waiver deadline coming at us on Friday morning. As seems to be the case a lot this week, there's a good chance you're listening to this even after that waiver deadline has passed and you're having to scramble around in free agency to bolster your team. So stay tuned. There should still be plenty for you if that is you. I'm recording this episode on Thursday, the 4th of April. So any team news, injury developments or press conference info are up to date as of then. And of course, subject to change. Some of the players I'll be discussing in this episode include John Stones, Brennan Johnson, again, Sarabia, plus a few more. So let's get into it. So let's kick things off with Wave Watch. The main players coming in and out on the waivers ahead of Game Week 31 last week. The players coming in were Harvey Barnes, Vardiol, Danny Welbeck, Semedo, Kwanzaa and Brereton Diaz. So a fairly good bunch there. The players leaving were Iwobi, Jamal Lascelles, Johnston, Bassey, Ogbene and Conor Gallagher. Let's have a quick look at the fixtures, starting with Brentford. They're away to Villa this weekend, which obviously isn't the easiest fixture. And I do expect Villa to bounce back with a result in that game after rotating a fair amount against Manchester City and having missed Ollie Watkins, who I'm assuming will be fine for this weekend. But after that, Brentford have got Sheffield United at home, Luton away, Everton away, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away in their next five games after that for, as I said, a very nice extended run, which you'd happily play some of their regulars for. Next is Chelsea. Now, I wouldn't pay too much attention to any rotation that occurs tonight unless they bring someone in who really pops off, but that will have to be your own late call. Of course, you can always stay up to date with my thoughts with the predicted lineups, and I'll be keeping those tinkered with right up until the game week deadline to see who I think will start the weekend for Chelsea on there. Wolves have a nice little set now. West Ham at home, Forest away in the next two. Should start to get some key personnel back as well, including Dawson at the back. Cunha should be fit enough to start up front at the weekend, having been fit enough just to come on as a substitute against Burnley. Then in game 34, they've got a home double against Bournemouth and Arsenal, with obviously more emphasis on that Bournemouth fixture than the Arsenal game. Bournemouth themselves go away to Luton this week. They then got Man United at home, followed by an okay double of Villa and Wolves. Both of those games are away though. And then finally Everton, possibly one more for the attackers than the defenders. Burnley at home this week, then Chelsea away, followed by a double of Liverpool and Forest. Both home games, though. Obviously, the Merseyside derby there, so it's not a gimme for Liverpool. And Forest at home will be a massive clash as they're both fighting amongst themselves at the bottom for that final relegation spot. Not much to say on the injury front. I think a lot of managers were just playing it safe with some of the drops in midweek. So we'll find out if any of them were worse than we assume they are when they do their press conferences tomorrow. Saka was probably one of the key misses, but I'm not expecting him to be missing out at the weekend. Into the main picks, and let's start with some defenders. As it stands, there are obviously, this is a three-horse title race, Liverpool, City and Arsenal. And I think they're all showing at the moment, they're up there, particularly Arsenal, as the best defences in the league. Arsenal defenders are pretty much a lock. Even the guys scrabbling to get into the lineup, like Tomiyasu, Zinchenko lately, have quite high ownership. So you're not going to have any chance of getting hold of those guys. For City and Liverpool, though, the picture is a lot different, and there is a lot more rotation that we're seeing. Obviously, some injuries which are playing a part too, so that's factoring in letting some of the substitutes make more of an appearance. For Liverpool, obviously, we're seeing lots of Bradley, Kwanzaa, Gomez, Tsimikas at times, so there's some options there. And for City as well, You know, we're seeing games for Rico Lewis, Vardiol, all those guys, because again, due to injuries, options are limited. I think for City, Stones is a big one to target. I think they will use him as much as they can for the run-in now, and I'm expecting him to start at the weekend. And for Liverpool, Kanate is the other one I've got an eye on. I'm pretty hot on Kwanzaa, and I think there is an eye for the future there as to him being a long-term partnership for Van Dijk. But with the run-in coming up now, every single point is going to matter. The title's probably going to come down to a point, and I would expect Kanate to probably come in and play the majority of the run-in. And again, his ownership is reasonably low in a lot of leagues, given we haven't seen much of him over the last month or so. In terms of teams where you've got a bit more chance of getting hold of their defenders in general, Brentford are the team that I'm highlighting here. Obviously, just mentioned them on the fixture chat. Not so good this week against Villa, but then, as I said, an extended run that is very attractive, and plenty of options because they're generally playing with the back three or back five. So Roslov and Reguilón, I think Reguilón will be a quite consistent starter on that left wing now, providing they stay in that system. And then Collins, Aya and Zanka, pretty much the main fit back three centre-backs. So any of those are worthwhile pickups too. And ownership has pretty much hit rock bottom at the moment for those guys. Into midfield and sticking with Brentford is Brian Mbeumo. We've seen a little bit of him off the bench in the last week or so. I'm predicting him to have his first start at the weekend, and I'm expecting a big little close off to the season for him. Now it's going to sound like I'm a scratch record, and really I could just cut and paste some of the audio from the last episode. Jota for Liverpool, we saw a big upswing in his ownership last week. Upcoming games are United away, Palace at home, and then the double of Everton and Fulham. The only annoying thing is the info on his injury, and his return date seems to keep nudging back. But it sounds like his recovery is similar to Alexander-Arnold's at the moment, and the expectation is that he'll be fit, possibly for the bench in game week 33. And then the hope would be for him to be fit enough for the double to at least start one and come off the bench for one of the other ones. So I think for that 33-34 period where Liverpool have three games, if we could get one start and two sub appearances from him, I would expect a couple of returns and well worth playing him in all of those. There was a massive surge in his ownership among top 100 leagues last week, and I think we'll see that rise again this week. Next is another familiar name from last week, is Brennan Johnson. Another return, he's now into the top 10 table for expected goal involvements per 90. In the Premier League, that is currently sat on 0.71. For context, Jota, who we just mentioned, is on 0.72, so very similar. In top 100 10-team leagues, there was actually a net decrease in Johnson's ownership in the last waiver window, and so there could still be a few sitting in your respective waiver piles. In 18 leagues, his ownership is sat at around 50%, so again, plenty to pick up there. I've got him down to start on the left-hand side this week, and we'll come on to my predicted lineup a little bit later with possibly Kulusevski coming back. Son was really lackluster against West Ham in midweek, and the ball was just bouncing off him in the first half, so I'm potentially backing a rare rest for Son as well, but we'll have to wait and see. Don't hold me to that. That's just a hunch at the moment. Another option, slightly less glamorous for Wolves, is Sarabia. Wolves are really short of attacking options at the moment. Neto's out. Huang's still out. We haven't seen Bellegarde come back from injury yet. Kuna's just coming back from injury. And replacements at the moment only seem to be coming from the youth setup. Sarabia has been a quiet, steady performer so far this season. 10 attacking returns so far in FPL, which is about what his underlying stats would suggest he should have put up so far. He started 15 out of Wolves' last 16 league games, and given their lack of options, I don't see him getting a rest at the weekend against West Ham. A streaming mid to add to your waiver list, unlikely to be your first choice in average size leagues, but if you are looking for a change, he wouldn't be the worst one to carry for this weekend. The final feature pick is Semenyo, mainly just because of the good fixtures, and he really is, I think, the next best thing to Solanke still, and well worth picking up if he is free in your league. I'm going to rattle through the next picks just due to time and how close we are to the waiver deadline. Hidden gems to mention: Diego Carlos is very low ownership for Villa. They're at home to Brentford this week. Harrison for Everton is very low owned. Chong for Luton, 5 returns in his last 8 in a home game against Bournemouth this weekend, could be worth picking up as a fifth midfielder. Not a very exciting one, but Kovacic for City is someone I've got a hunch will play their next game, and some people are always happy to have a City midfielder given that they can just pop off as a team. Finally, Jacob Murphy remains in hidden gem territory, who I'll mention in just a few moments when I look at the lineups. My most hidden gem pick this week is, well, it was tricky and I've had to bend the rules slightly. There's no real decent pick I could highlight with ownership less than 10% in 16-team leagues. So I've gone with a player who is currently owned in 11% of 16-team leagues. So hopefully you'll let me off for this one. It's Badi Ashile for Chelsea, who could be a very good way into their defence. Now, something I often tweet but don't often mention in the pod is the late free agent pickup, which is if you've set your lineup and you end up with a streamer right at the back of your bench that you're not really bothered about, it can sometimes be worth free agenting that player out for somebody that you're considering for next week, basically just to pencil in a waiver a week early and get ahead of the game, basically. So for this week, I think Brighton are a good team to look at. They have got Burnley next weekend. There are a number of Brighton players free in the waiver pile because their fixtures have been bad. And apart from that game next week, continue to look pretty bleak. But let's say you could save yourself a fight on the waivers next week. And if there is someone rubbish that you're just parking on the bench for no reason who are adding no value to your team, why not swap them out for a Brighton player? Obviously, the main game is trying to predict a Brighton player that will start. But that's always the game when it comes to Brighton. Now, let's have a chat through some of my predicted lineups and my thought process heading into Game Week 32. For those watching on the video, I'm going to switch things up now so that you can hopefully see the predicted lineups page from Draft FC. So this is the predicted lineups page that is available to everyone, whether you're a member or not. If you just go to draftfc.co.uk, click on the drop-down menu, you'll be able to find our predicted lineups there. Or if you just Google Premier League predicted lineups, we're one of the top results on there too. So let's go team by team very, very quickly. For Arsenal, I'm feeling that we get back to the more familiar Arsenal players that we've been seeing over the last few months, including Kiwior back in at left back. For Villa, McGinn should be back in after his ban. I think Diaby possibly drops out and Bailey will accompany Watkins up top. But unless I hear otherwise, I'm assuming that Watkins will be good to go for the weekend. For Bournemouth, Senesi, I think, should be fit to come back into the defence. There's a chance Aarons could come in, but I've got Smith remaining at right back for now. I'm also predicting Tavernier out for Dango Ouattara, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Tav in again, who has been used quite a lot this season. For Brentford, as I've mentioned already, I've got Mbeumo down to get his first start back from injury in what's an otherwise relatively stable lineup for Brentford. For Brighton, as always, who the fuck knows? I've got them going with a kind of back three wing back setup, which they do deploy from time to time. So it'd be Lamptey and Estupinan high and wide with a midfield three, and then Dinger and Welbeck up top. They remain the hardest team to predict, and there's always a chance half the team I predict is different. So yeah, if you've got your own hunches or your own insights that would make you see this team being completely different, I'm not going to fight you on it. For Burnley, Asignon should be back from his ridiculous two yellows sending off ban, which should probably put Vitinho back into right mid, so one of the midfielders will drop out. For Chelsea, I've got Mudryk to come back in, but that will be slightly dependent on the setup tonight for their game against Man United. The other thing I'm aware of is that Levi Colwill should be back fit soon, if not already, and would be back in the 11 relatively shortly. For Palace, they've had to deviate from their tried and tested Glasner 11 as there was an injury to Richards. So Lerma came into the back three. For now, as it stands, I've got Lerma back in that back three to keep the system as it is. Still not sure where Elise would fit in if he's going to be fit enough for a start. So we'll have to wait and see. Everton, probably Del Calvert-Lewin back into the starting 11 over Beto this weekend. To Fulham, I've currently predicted Iwobi, Wilson and Lukic to be dropped for this game. Hauled off, I'm sort of dubbing them the 33-minute three as they were all hauled off after 33 minutes in a 3-1 defeat to Forest. And so I expect them to watch on from the bench in this one. It's probably not the worst time for them to rotate a little bit anyway. So I've got Decordova Reed and Willian coming back into the side to partner Muniz up top. For Liverpool, for the weekend, I've got Jones and Robbo in, but again, I'll probably tweak my thought process once we see how they line up and who's in the squad tonight against Sheffield United. Luton only have around 12 fit outfielders at the moment, so it's not too hard to guess who's going to play for them. For City, rested obviously very well in midweek. Stones should be back in for this one, and also predicting a deserved rest for Bernardo Silva, who has played a lot of minutes this year with Kovacic filling in for this weekend. Again, for Man United, fairly limited with their options due to injury, so shouldn't be too hard to predict. For Newcastle, again, massive injury crisis, so not many pegs to put in the holes for them. I'm expecting a slight shuffle with Murphy actually lining up at right back, Gordon back into the 11 on the left, Barnes moved over to the right, Dan Burn sliding across the centre back, and Hall at left back. But who knows, the press conference could come out and one or two of these guys are injured too, and we have to go back to the drawing board again. But that's how I would predict they start as it stands. Now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I expect Forrest will probably name an unchanged side at Spurs, but there is a slight chance he gets shook and swaps one of the wingers for another midfielder. So at the moment, I've got Yates and Danilo in there, but could easily see Hudson-Odoi dropped for someone like Sangare or Dominguez just to bolster that midfield a little bit. For Sheffield United, obviously another team that are in action later today, but I don't see them changing things too much. For Spurs, I've got Saar coming back into midfield over Bentancur. As usual, the main predictive challenge is in the front three, and as usual, it's a battle between my own personal bias and who I actually think the likely starters will be. I think if you were betting, you would bet that Son starts up top, but I would love to see Richarlison in there and currently have him penciled in to start. Werner played the full game in midweek, so I think he'll probably come off the bench. So currently I've got Kulusevski, Richarlison and Johnson along my front three. And then to West Ham, Alvarez is back from his ban. I expect him to come in at the expense of Ward-Prowse, who I thought was very quiet and didn't really do much in the game in midweek against Spurs. He's obviously always, there's always a sharp intake of breath when he stands over a free kick or a corner, but yeah, he didn't really seem to add much in the general gameplay. And for Wolves, I'm expecting Dawson back. I'm expecting Cunha to start up top. And I think given the lack of options that they could put in a front two or a front three, I'm predicting that Doyle comes back into central midfield and they build more of their attacks through those supporting players. So yeah, keep an eye on the lineups. I'll continue to tweet them right up until the game week deadline, not just up until the waiver deadline, because I know some of you will be tinkering, having to make free agent moves. There could be late injury news and things like that. So I will keep fiddling as soon as any news comes available. And yeah, I know that they form a very useful part of a lot of your draft preps. For those of you that haven't signed up at draftfc.co.uk before, it's also just pointing out that the same predicted lineups that are freely available to everyone also get plumbed into the background. So there is a predicted lineup page in the main app for signed up members. So what this does is it pulls in all of those predicted lineups in exactly the same way, but layers in your league data. And the most important thing is that it brings in who is owned and who is available. And so what you can do when you're in the background is quickly skim through the list of players, and all of the players that are actually free and available in your waiver pile are highlighted as available. So for example, let's assume you are looking for a Chelsea player for their away match to Sheffield United. You can quickly scroll down to have a look at the Chelsea 11. And from looking at this league I'm looking at, I can easily see that Cucurella, Badi Shule, Caicedo and Enzo are all available if I wanted any of them to get a little piece of Chelsea for the week. So it's a nice easy way, as well as their expected points for the game week and their ownership stats. So it just adds in a lot more functionality to the bog standard, good old fashioned predicted lineups page. So that is it for this episode. A reminder that the waiver deadline will be Friday the 5th of April at 11 a.m. UK time, ahead of the Saturday lunchtime kickoff between Palace and City. We should have had Monday night football between Spurs and Forest, but due to travel disruption, that has now been brought forward to Sunday night. So actually, the whole game week will be done and dusted between Saturday lunchtime and Sunday night, which is nice. Having had a very hectic week of podcasts, we then have a full 5-day gap between the end of Game Week 32 and the waiver deadline for Game Week 33. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, make sure that you're following or subscribed on whichever platform you're listening to so you don't miss out on any future episodes as they drop. If you need to contact us, one of the easiest ways is on X, formerly known as Twitter. Give us a follow on there at draft_FC and either tweet us or DM us for what is usually a reasonably quick response. Of course, if you haven't been to draftfc.co.uk already, I would urge you to do so. If you've never signed up before, you can with a 1 month free trial if you just input the code DRAFTFCPOD, all one word and capitalized, DRAFTFCPOD. That'll give you, as I said, 1 month complete free access, so you won't be limited in any way. So you can have a look at all of the things we've got on offer for you. And if it's something you're interested in, then you can carry on with it. And if not, no hard feelings, you can go on your way. One of the things you're going to hear me continue to bang on about until we get to the end of the season is the league history feature, which will allow you to save all of the league data for future years to look back on and be able to trace back how managers have performed over the years, particularly because I know lots of you, including us, have leagues that are really forming a dynasty now and have been going 6-7 years, sometimes longer if you've also moved from other formats. And so it can be really nice having all of that data nicely to hand to be able to look back on. Now, you can sign up even after the season finishes. So as long as the game hasn't updated, all of that data will be sat there. And if you sign up, input your league ID or your team ID, it will automatically pull all of the league data, including monthly reports. That's been a new feature we've added this year. And that will then be there so long as you are a member. Now, if you lapse your membership, so let's say you sign up in a few weeks, you go to the end of the season, you get your league history saved, and then next season you don't sign up again, we will keep that data in the background. So if you then decide a year later to join us again, obviously we'll gladly have you back. That league history tab will be there exactly as you left it, providing you sign up with the same email address that you did before. So even more reason to get in there and just get it tucked away in the archive. And it will also do this for all of the leagues that you're involved with. So any of the leagues that you have put into DraftFC to be able to see the analytics for, all of the leagues will automatically be saved as well. So it's not just one. It can be as many that you have currently signed up at DraftFC. Let's say the main thing to remember is once the game updates, once it goes into kind of maintenance mode in June time ahead of next season, at that point, if we haven't had the league history saved, it is gone forever. We will obviously, we keep some general data on trends in terms of ownership stats and things like that, but your actual league data will be gone forever. So I highly urge you, if you are in a very engaged league, at least come game week 38, just sign up briefly, get the league history saved, and then you can clock off again if you want to. So that is it for this episode. Again, another tight turnaround. So you're probably listening to this with not many hours to go, if not many minutes to go, before the waiver deadline, to pull your phone out and make some waivers now so you don't forget. Because one of the easiest ways to stay ahead is simply staying on top of the waivers. And it's amazing how many of your league rivals will forget throughout the season and how many wins and how many points you can clock up just from being on the ball. So yeah, hope you get everyone you want. Hope you get the wins. And as always, stay shook.